We're doing the laws of Tisha B'Av. So, on the eve of Tisha B'Av, we have Erev Tisha B'Av, so we should prepare for the fast. We know sick people don't fast on Tisha B'Av. Pregnant women have to ask a shayla. Nursing women have to ask a shayla. Person who had a heart attack, person who has cancer, they shouldn't be fasting on Tisha B'Av. But it's always good to consult with the rabbi to get all the details. Tisha B'Av is the most stringent of the rabbinic fasts, but it's still rabbinic and not biblical. If a person is on antibiotics, he has to ask a shayla. Very often he won't fast on Tisha B'Av. So the rest of us who do fast have to prepare. And the trick to preparing for Tisha B'Av is to start eating and drinking 2 to 3 days beforehand and to eat for a day and a half afterwards, to eat and drink. This is where nursing women make a mistake. Traditionally, nursing women would fast on Tisha B'Av. Today, it's a little questionable. It depends a little bit on the scenario. But if a nursing woman is going to fast on Tisha B'Av, the key is not only to eat and drink beforehand and to rest during Tisha B'Av, but also to drink afterwards. Now, there are many halachot that the Gemara says about the final meal before the fast, the Suda HaMafseket, which we Ashkenazim have expanded all the way to the 9 days. For example, the idea of not eating meat or drinking wine in the Gemara is said about the Suda HaMafseket. In that meal, the final meal before Tisha B'Av, don't sit there and eat meat and drink wine as you're entering Tisha B'Av. We Ashkenazim extended the full 9 days. Okay, you were discussing that, the joy and the sorrow, yeah? So the way we do it is basically we're going to eat only one cooked item at that meal. And therefore, our custom is that we eat a good big lunch. We eat a good big late meal, a late lunch, like at 4 or 5 o'clock, we eat a big meal. We finish that meal. And then, before the fast, like an hour before the fast, we sit down for the Suda HaMafseket. And in that meal, we only eat like bread and an egg. So you end up eating only one cooked item. You can't make a scrambled egg with cheese, no.
That would be two items.
Yeah. If you cooked two types of eggs, it's a scrambled egg and a cooked egg. That's already going to be two cooked items.
It counts as all the separate items in the omelet. Mushrooms, peppers, onions, whatever.
If you're going to, I'm saying, yeah, but let's say you'd want to put, if you'd want to make eggs with cheese, I guess that would be okay. Eggs with cheese and onion and whatever, that would be okay, because that's all one cooked item, I guess. You're allowed to eat raw fruits and vegetables. There is a custom to eat eggs and lentils, and the idea is that a person who's in mourning eats eggs usually. That's because it's round,
so
right?
It should be a hard-boiled egg.
Hard-boiled egg, right? We eat a hard-boiled egg, and the idea is that that's what mourners eat. They eat something that's round to remind them that death is a cycle in the world, to remind them that sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut, just like an egg is round and closed. At the most extreme moments of pain, it's better to be silent. So as we're about to enter our morning of Jerusalem, we sit down. A lot of people have the custom to dip their bread in ash. We don't sit for an inclusive meal. Every person sits in their own corner. We don't make a zimun. And some have the custom to sit on the ground when they eat the Suda HaMafseket. You dip your bread in salt, you dip your egg in ash, and you drink water, and it's a simple meal.
I just want to kiss you because you said hard-boiled egg. So if you have a hard-boiled egg and you can't have two separate kinds of eggs, there goes the omelet.
There goes the omelet, right. Right. Ideally, it should be a hard-boiled egg, right? Bread. And then you can't have the omelet because that's two types of cooking it, right?
Why can't emphasis on two types?
Chazal wanted it to be a simple meal. Or you're not going to eat.
More than two types. It's not
you shouldn't have two. You should have a maximum one type of cooked food.
We
try to sit separately, yeah. So we won't be chayiv and zimun. We sit on the ground. Usually, people sit each one in their corner, have their bread and egg, and a little bit of ash, and enter the fast. I personally don't digest eggs well, so it's not worth it for me to do this minug and then spend the fast in digesting the egg. So I boil the egg and I nibble at it.
Deep egg whites, you can find protein in the liver. Seriously, it will level your blood sugars up. The protein, the white, avoid the yolk, because that's what's giving you the indigestion.
So, we'll check with Hashem. Again, this is all with the Suda Mafseket, but like we said, our custom is that before Mincha, we daven a relatively late Mincha, and before Mincha, we eat a big meal to be prepared for the fast, and then after Mincha, we sit down for this simple meal, which is just bread and an egg, and hopefully by then you're not too hungry. It's important to prepare for the fast. People sometimes say, if I eat so much, I won't suffer during the fast. Don't worry, Chazal didn't want you to suffer more than necessary. Chazal assumed you'd do your maximum preparing and eat up and drink up, and then whatever's left, that's...
The big thing before Mincha, there are no restrictions.
No restrictions.
No. Okay.
The regular Ashkenazi restrictions, that we don't eat meat the 9 days, we don't drink wine the 9 days.
But also started in Shavuot, Chicago.
Yeah, so right. Right. Okay, so that's our preparation for Tisha B'Av. Now, Tisha B'Av is an interesting holiday. On one hand, it's the saddest day of the year. On the other hand, the Megillah calls it a Moed, as we saw. Kara alai Moed. We discussed it last night. And that's why, in certain respects, Tisha B'Av has the din of it like a holiday. To the point where on Mincha, Erev Tisha B'Av, we don't say Tachanun. Because just like on the eve of a Yom Tov. Now, at the end of the Suda Mafseket, until you say, okay, I'm accepting Tisha B'Av on me, you could still eat and drink, even if you benched. You could still continue, unless you explicitly said, that's it, I'm into Tisha B'Av, I'm finished. Tisha B'Av is the only fast, other than Yom Kippur, so it's the only rabbinic fast, where the night and the day are equal. So... that means we know we have extra prohibitions on Tisha B'Av. Aside from prohibition of eating, we don't wash, we don't anoint ourselves, we don't wear shoes, leather shoes on Tisha B'Av. The night is like the day. Now, the late afternoon, once it hits Bein HaShemashos, then we already stop, right? Once sunset hits, we stop everything. Yeah.
What does one do in terms of medication that's going on? Medication you take every day, how does one take it in the morning?
So, each person has to consult with their rabbi. There are different ways of doing it. It depends. Some medication needs to be on a full stomach, so then sometimes that's going to be a reason a person won't be able to fast. Sometimes it's just an issue that a person can't swallow it, and then what we'll sometimes do is take like 2 tea bags, put them in a cup, and then you make a very strong tea that really doesn't taste good, and then you down it with that. If that's feasible. I recommend doing it with chamomile tea, because regular tea can really do a thing on the stomach because of its acidity. You could do the same thing with coffee. You just try to make it strong to the point where the average person would think it's very unpalatable. The idea is that it's not a human drink anymore.
I tried this once before. If I put a little bit of water in my mouth, put the pill in, get the pill wet, spit the water out, and then swallow the pill. So I'm not taking in any water, but I'm...
Is it that better than my system? I'm saying if you make a strong chamomile tea, I think that's better.
Okay.
Because technically you did swallow something.
Right.
Saying,
the problem is usually in these things when they say take it with food or something, right. It's a question of... your stomach, how
right.
It reacts.
He said it's not take it with food. He said it's just an issue that...
Just swallowing it?
Yeah.
Or you have a hard time swallowing it.
That's dry stuff.
Can you just run the pill underwater yourself?
Yeah, but...
I don't think so, because you're going to end up drinking it. I'd rather you do the other way. Make the tea and dip it in the tea then.
Okay.
Or take it...
Not
right
such
before,
a big deal.
Take it right before Tisha B'Av with a big glass of water if you can, and then after, and just skip one time, unless it's a health reason that's important. That's a different story.
Yeah, we don't play with pills.
No, we're not talking aspirin here. You're talking about serious stuff, obviously.
Okay, so on Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to wash ourselves, and that's why we're going to wash our hands in the morning up to the knuckle. You start pouring the water, and you stick in your fingers up to the knuckle. the knuckle that connects the joint, the finger to the palm of the hand, right? Okay? What? Ah, so we'll get there in a minute. We don't wear leather shoes, but you shouldn't bruise your feet. So if you don't have any Crocs and you don't have anything else to put on your feet, then you put on the shoes when you walk to shul. And then when you get to shul, you take them off. When you get home, you take them off. Couples are prohibited from being intimate. And that's why couples leave a light on in their bedroom or they separate the beds. So we also are not allowed to learn Torah. Torah is supposed to be making us happy. So the only thing you're allowed to learn are things about the destructions or laws of mourning or the rebuke of the prophets or the book of Job, something that makes a person sad. You're allowed to learn Eichel with commentary. You're allowed to learn Eov, Job, with commentary. You're allowed to daven, what?
No Kohelis.
I don't think Kohelis is so sad.
I don't either, actually.
Yeah.
Usually most people do.
We do say all of davening the way we ordinarily would. So even though parts of davening are learning, that's okay. Anything that's part of davening is okay. A woman that gave birth for 30 days, someone who's ill, we don't start saying, maybe he's this ill, maybe he's that ill. Our rule is ordinarily that whenever a person's ill, so b'mokom choli lo gazru rabbanan. It's not, this is an important concept that people sometimes think, maybe I'll be stringent. If you're ill, so then there's no fast for you today. The rabbis didn't institute a fast for someone who's ill. That means that if you want to be stringent and fast, so pick any day of the year and fast. It has nothing to do with Tisha B'Av. Because the rabbis didn't institute for this person a fast on Tisha B'Av.
No. You just mentioned that if you don't say, like, what is ill, like, is that, like, referring to, like, what are we considering, like, a high enough level of being ill?
Call your local Orthodox rabbi. A person that has a fever, a person that's bedridden. Those people don't fast on Tisha B'Av.
But is that what it means? Like when it's saying like that we don't sit around and like discuss what is ill, like we just say.
Means no. If a woman gave birth, and it's 25 days after she gave birth, even though technically you could say maybe she is strong enough or not, we say no. She shouldn't fast until 30 days after childbirth. I'm saying no, and when a person's ill, so even though on Yom Kippur we bring him to a doctor and we evaluate him and we do a lot of cheshbonot to figure out is he ill enough that he should really transgress or not fast on Yom Kippur, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we don't say that. On Yom Kippur, we take great pains. We investigate the doctors, we investigate the sick person, we do a lot of work on Yom Kippur to verify that he really shouldn't fast. On Tisha B'Av, we don't do that much work. Once he's ill, so okay, he doesn't have a fast.
So my question is leading up to that.
But again, I recommend ask your local Orthodox rabbi. People don't usually call that chan on their own, and usually they shouldn't.
Okay. So there is like a level where you say like you have to be at this point of ill. Because I was going to say, like, how you test if I understand is that even if your eye hurts.
Say that. Even that, you have to understand what eye hurts means.
Okay.
Chazal, we're talking about certain things, we talk about other things. Okay, what happens if your hands got dirty? You changed a tire and you're covered with the dirt of the tire, right? So then you're allowed to clean it up. You're allowed to clean off dirt. Meaning if a person gets dirty, he's allowed to clean himself off.
I can wash my face in the morning.
We'll see that in a second. After you dry your hands and they're slightly moist, so then you're allowed to clean off your eyes. If you ordinarily, if you feel filthy without cleaning off your face, because that's what you do every morning, so then that's okay. Yes, depends on the person. Saying a person who feels filthy, if he doesn't clean his face in the morning, so then that's considered cleanliness for him. Yeah, we're talking about on Tisha B'Av. If you walked around with sandals and your feet got all dusty, you can clean them off. What you could also do is take a cloth that's moist but not wet and wipe yourself off so long as it's just cool, so long as you won't get wet by it. You're not allowed to anoint yourself, but let's say there's a cream that a person puts on because they have lice or something else, that's okay, because the anointing that's prohibited is for pleasure.
Like acne cream or something like that?
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. On Tisha B'Av night, we said we don't sleep together with our wives in the same bed. We don't greet a person and say shalom. Sometimes someone forgets, so you answer them with a heavy head. You answer them to remind them that it's Tisha B'Av. But you're not supposed to greet your friend. You're not supposed to say shalom. So how do you answer your phone? You answer Cain. Yes.
Say hello.
I don't know. We don't go for trips. We don't go walking around. We don't sit and watch movies. The point that Chazal wanted that was that on Tisha B'Av we remain focused on the mourning, focused on the loss, and that's why Chazal asked that a person not leave shul and take a break in the middle of the kinos. On the contrary, Chazal wanted you to spend the time there and focus on the kinos and take one day to think about what's really going on. What the destruction, yeah.
If one does, you just mentioned about, you know, normally we're told, you know, you greet someone before they greet you and be friendly. In the world that many of us come from and live in, if we do answer the phones, people will call, they'll have no idea if one is so very curt and short. Is it appropriate to explain?
It is, but I think it's more appropriate not to answer the phone.
That period. Just yeah. Stage or whatever. Yeah, okay.
Chazal, you know, it should be half like a yom div.
That's obviously preferable.
One of the things that gets me is that as a rabbi, I'm going to have my cell phone with me because people call and they need to know if to fast. But all the years I didn't have a cell phone with me. You know, you're supposed to have a morning where you're spending half a day focused on the morning over Jerusalem. A person's not really supposed to do work on Tisha B'Av. That's pretty much accepted minhag in many places, but even in chutz arts, I think some people did, some people didn't. The custom is that until chatzos we don't do work, and our custom is really that chatzos is not exactly chatzos. It's when you get up and leave shul. Simple things like turning on a light and stuff like that we do, but more complex things we don't go to work and stuff like that. We spend the first half of the day in shul, and then the custom is after shul we go to a graveyard. If you don't have a Jewish graveyard, you go to a non-Jewish graveyard. It's supposed to arouse a person to think about where he's headed. So that's an ancient custom already in the days of the Gemara. What's happening if you're going to lose a lot of money if you don't do work on Tisha B'Av? So you're allowed to do work on Tisha B'Av. Meaning it's not for davar or aved, for things that you're going to lose, you don't have to forgo that. But Chazal warned us that a person who does work on Tisha B'Av will not see any blessing from that work. So they said it's not recommended. There's this idea that we're supposed to participate in the mourning over Jerusalem. So whoever eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av will not merit to see the happiness of Jerusalem. And whoever joins in the mourning will merit to see its happiness. As the verse says, Sisu et Yerushalayim v'gilu ba'a, kol ha-mitabelim aleha, all those who mourned over it should merit to see its happiness. Now, we don't put on tefillin in the morning, we don't put on a talis, we come to shul and we don't wear, we just make the blessing on the talit katan, and we don't put on the tefillin and the talis in the morning, because the Medrash says, Bitza imrato ketzav, we saw that, so, Biza pupira delay. It's as though God destroyed his own talis. And then the pasuk says, Hishlich mishamayim eretz, God threw our glory down from the heaven down to the earth. Again, that's a pasuk we learned last night also. So that, Chazal say, is a reference to our tefillin. That's like high up. So that's why we don't put on tefillin and talis in the morning. We're going to put them on at mincha. Some have the custom on the night of Tisha B'Av to sleep on the ground and put a rock under their head. When I left Israel, I took a rock with me. And that was the rock I'd put under my pillow. But a person on the night of Tisha B'Av should try to reduce his own pleasures. So if you usually sleep on two pillows, so you sleep on one. Other people put a pillow under their rock to commemorate that when Am Yisrael left Israel, they took rocks with them to show their love for the land of Israel.
Do they put a pillow under their rock, or do they put a rock under their pillow?
To each his own. A person's supposed to minimize his own honor. Part of the customs of mourning is that we don't sit high up. We sit on the floor. So up to three tefachim, up to three hand widths, is like you're sitting on the floor. So you could take a stool and sit on that. You could sit on the floor, however you're comfortable. There's...
Not too comfortable.
There is a custom that in shul, we turn off the lights and just light a few candles. Also part of the morning that we show. Now, in the prayer of Mincha, for us Ashkenazim, you're a Sfardi? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Sfardim say it, I think, in all prayers. Two additions. There's an addition of Nachem. Nachem Hashem Lokeinu Tavelei Tzion. That's an addition in the blessing of Bonei Yerushalayim. Look in your Siddur. And then there's the addition we say on every fast day, which is Aneinu. Hashem, you should answer us on the day of our fast. Us Ashkenazim only do it on Mincha, because we say Mincha time was the time in the afternoon when they lit the fires in the temple. So that's the time we say that prayer. No, both. The one in Shema Koleinu and in Bnei Yerushalayim. Us Ashkenazim say it only at Mincha. Okay? On Motzei Tisha B'Av, being that the night after Tisha B'Av is when the fires were burning in the temple going into the 10th day, so we try to hold on to some of the stringencies. We don't play music, we don't eat meat, we don't drink wine, we don't do laundry. If on the night after Tisha B'Av, until the afternoon of the next day. Now, this is a stringency that's less stringent than the 9 days, but we have that custom. So, ideally, if a person can, you wait until the afternoon of the next day before you eat your meat and wine and do your laundry and wear new clothing, if it's possible. You can shower if it's necessary. For most people in Israel, it's necessary. But again, we do hold on to the customs of the 9 days till the afternoon of the 10th, if possible. Now, as far as the order of prayer, I guess we'll pick up with that on Sunday. Say there the prayers of Tisha B'Av, but bring Sidurim so you know what we're talking about, okay? So, let's go.